It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello, welcome! It is May 14th, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC, so it's time for some news, all you news hounds out there. Sorry about yesterday. I recorded a show, and then I uploaded it. I didn't upload it. What happened, I recorded the show, and then I went to upload it, and the way the process works behind the scenes is I record the show on Mix, then I take that file, and I SCP it over to the SDF cluster, and then I FTP it from SDF up to the FTP server. Well, unfortunately, whenever I copied the file from my local computer to SDF, I copied the 12th's file instead of the 13th's file, and then uploaded it over there, named the 13th. So that was the mix-up. I emailed membership. Ixer was super fast and very responsive, was able to get help delete the file I'd uploaded, and then I uploaded the right file, so it should be in the archive. I haven't checked yet. So anyway, that's all the house cleaning. We've got so much news, and we've got to start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right, with our world news. World it up. World it up. Oh man, today is the 14th. Got to be sure and open the right bookmarks. Can't screw up too many times in a week. I guess you can, but trying not to. Let's start off in Samoa. Not U.S. Samoa. Samoa is experiencing a bloodless coup. The Pacific's most stable democracy is in trouble. Samoa has long been touted as a beacon of democracy and political stability in the Pacific, a region troubled by military coups and civil strife. The Prime Minister, Tuileapa Sayele... Oh, I'm going to say this poorly. But the article's at The Guardian. I'll try again. Tuileapa Sayele Malealaegoaie. That's terrible. It's Tuileapa, second name Sailele, last name Maileegaoi. So is the world's second longest serving prime minister, having held office for more than 22 years. But the latest election in the country, held last month, saw the most serious challenge to Malialagoe's ruling Human Rights Protection Party, or HRPP, and has left the country without a clear result. In the weeks since, the government has used every method available to it, and some that arguably are not, to hold on to power. What the government is doing is effectively a bloodless coup. While other Pacific nations have used military force to take or retain government, Samoa's seemingly democratic system has been white-anted. It's an abbreviated word. I haven't heard it before. Let's see if DuckDuckGo can help. Ah, here we go. White-anted, meaning simple past tense and past participle of white ant. And white ant is a colloquial Australian word to mean to bring down from within or to undermine. And it's also slang for a termite, or it's a termite term. Okay, now I get it. And I hope you do too. We learn together. Anyway, let's get back to the story. White anted. Its apparent stability obscuring the gradual deconstruction of democracy over the past few decades. During this time, frequent constitutional amendments and legislative rewrites have skewed electoral rules, politicized the public service, and eroded the rule of law. Dissent has been discouraged through media, regulation, and criminal libel laws. The legislature and executive have become controlled by a dominant cabinet. But the most significant structural reform, the government's contentious 2020 restructuring of the judiciary, customary land, and chiefly titles, seeded unexpected political opposition. Malialago's Deputy Prime Minister, Fiamme Naomi Matafa, one of the most senior female parliamentarians in the Pacific region, resigned to protest the undermining of the rule of law in Samoa. The resulting political momentum saw the founding of the FAS Party, which Fiamme has led since March 2021. Despite the Prime Minister's public confidence that HRPP would retain a strong majority, the stunning election results saw HRPP and FAST locked at 25 seats apiece, with independent Tuala Iosefo Bonifacio holding the balance of power. When results were officially confirmed, the Electoral Commission declared Samoa's gender quota for 10% female MPs had been met, with the election of 5 women out of 51 MPs. However, the commissioner then reversed his position, and an additional woman MP representing HRPP was appointed the following day. Independent MP Tuala announced he was throwing his support behind FAST, meaning Parliament was again deadlocked, this time 26-26. Ironically, the use of the quota aimed to increase women's parliamentary representation stopped the country from getting its first female prime minister. Unsurprisingly, FAST has challenged the activation of the women's quota in the Supreme Court on the eve of the court hearing that might break the deadlock. The head of state, a separate position of the prime minister, made the unprecedented decision to void the election results and call a fresh poll. So, it's just very wild times going on in Samoa. And with everything else going on, it's probably not a story that's going to get a lot of news, a lot of airtime. So, wanted to be sure and get that out there. From France 24, Russia's listing the U.S. and Czech Republic as unfriendly states. Russia on Friday formally designated the United States and the Czech Republic as unfriendly states amid the biggest crisis in ties between Moscow and Washington in recent years. The Russian government released a decree signed by Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin that was accompanied by a list of unfriendly states that have carried out unfriendly actions against Russia, Russian nationals, or Russian entities. The list now includes the U.S. and Czech Republic. The Czech embassy will be allowed to employ no more than 19 Russian nationals, and the U.S. embassy none at all, Moscow said. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Friday that Moscow remained ready for dialogue. State news agency TASS, Tango Alpha Sierra Sierra, reported, stressing the fact that Russia had now only 2 nations on its unfriendly states list. In recent months, tensions have spiraled between Russia and the West over a litany of issues, including Russia's troop buildup on Ukraine's border, interference in U.S. elections, and perceived hostile activities. So, very interesting. We'll see how it plays out. It's definitely an interesting political move. And, oh man.
Ouch!
We got to talk about this painful story that's still going on. We've got two bits here. First from the BBC. Israel intensifies attacks in Gaza as conflict enters fifth day. Israel has intensified its assault on Gaza as Palestinian militants continue to fire rockets into Israel on the fifth day of hostilities. Israel's military said air and ground forces were involved in attacks on Friday but had not entered Gaza. Meanwhile, clashes between Palestinians and the Israeli security forces spread across much of the occupied West Bank. At least 122 people have been killed in Gaza and 8 have died in Israel since the fighting began on Monday. Jewish and Israeli Arab mobs have also been fighting within Israel, prompting its president to warn of civil war. Defense Minister Benny Gantz ordered a massive reinforcement of security forces to suppress the internal unrest that has seen more than 400 people arrested. Police say Israeli Arabs have been responsible for most of the trouble and reject the accusation that they are standing by while gangs of Jewish youth target Arab homes. This week's violence in Gaza and Israel is the worst since 2014. It came after weeks of rising Israeli-Palestinian tensions in East Jerusalem, which culminated in clashes at a holy site revered by both Muslims and Jews. Hamas, the militant group that rules Gaza, began firing rockets after warning Israel to withdraw from the site, triggering retaliatory airstrikes. So, yeah, there's lots of photos on the BBC to see what's going on. It's wild times right now. There is a helpful map to kind of show what's weird. I think the what makes this so weird as far as like the map and stuff is that Jerusalem, like all of the land that Israel has, right, is pretty contiguous, but then there's just a jut into the West Bank, which used to be Syrian territory. I guess it's still disputed. Syria still wanted it. That Jerusalem kind of just sticks into it. So it's kind of in the middle. So the Israeli army, I guess, at one point recovered Jerusalem and then a little bit of a land out west of it. And so it really, like, that's the holy site that they really care about. But the they've got a whole bunch of rest of the country and got the Gaza Strip and the West Bank kind of flank the sides. I don't know. It's very weird. The geography, I think, plays a big point, a big part of everything. So check out the maps on BBC.com if you want to see that stuff. All right. And the other thing is Israel bombards Gaza, BDS, that's Bravo Delta Sierra, urges renewed economic pressure. The boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is urging a military embargo on Israel, a boycott of firms complicit in Israel's occupation and the canceling of academic, cultural, and sporting events in the country as the latest escalation of violence. It's killed at least 122 Palestinians and wounded more than 900. You can read a full story over on aljazeera.com. It's it kind of goes through what the BDS movement is and how that's been accepted and rejected around the world. So definitely
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
All right, let's go on and talk about other sad news that's not quite isn't so controversial, I guess. Talking about Israel and Palestine, talking about is kind of a tough thing to talk about. Same thing with, there's a lot of things that are hard for me to talk about because it's like you get raised one way and then you get older and you realize it's something else. And it's just, you don't want to, anyway, I just have trouble with it sometimes. But yeah, we need to stop Israel. Okay. So this is just sad. Starving in silence in Madagascar. So we talked about this before when I couldn't figure out where Madagascar was, but it's still going on. It's one of the most overlooked disasters in the world. In Madagascar, 1.5 million people are suffering from serious food crisis and need emergency assistance. Several dozen people have already died of hunger. An unprecedented drought, which hit the south of the island in recent years and destroyed almost all the crops, is mostly to blame. As the UN World Food Program asks for emergency aid of €62.45 million, our correspondent Gail Borgia traveled to Enasi, the region hardest hit by the crisis. For the past 6 months in Madagascar, men, women, the elderly, and children have been dying of hunger. However, although the World Food Program, or WFP, that's Whiskey Foxtrot Papa, has requested $62.45 million from donor countries, the Malagasy government remains largely indifferent to the crisis and has refused to declare a state of emergency. The region of Enosi in the far south of Madagascar has been particularly hit hard by the unprecedented drought. It is also one of the most remote and dangerous areas of the island. The district of Amboasari Atsimo, from where we reported, is often the scene of attacks from Dahalo, rural bandits, who carry out raids in villages and kill. The villages where we filmed felt like places where people are left to die, where the few inhabitants still left wait for food aid while hiding from the Dahalo. The situation is so dire that we transported large quantities of rice, oil, and salt for the inhabitants of the villages. Most of the children, teenagers, and elderly people we met only had skin left on their bones and seemed numb, stunned by hunger. Surrounded by skeletal, silent figures, we felt as if we were in a villages of walking zombies. But as soon as the WFP distributed the famous little bags of fortified flour called Plumpy Daws, the children's smiles and energy immediately returned. The sudden change was striking. Plumpy, plumpy, they cried out with joy. So, that at least was a little positive, but it's very sad. There's a video showing all the starving people if you need that to motivate you. We've got more African news, but first, let's go ahead and play a song. I did not pick one out ahead of time because I'm running late, believe it or not. Who knew? But that's fine. We'll just go ahead and play Bob Dylan, because if you're not sure what to do, listen to Bob Dylan, and you can think about it a little bit. This is The Times They Are A-Changin', or at least it's labeled that. It's 2 minutes and 14 seconds, so I'm a little dubious. This is definitely not Bob Dylan. I wonder why it's labeled as Bob Dylan. It's easy to get burned when the shows were on.
song before I go, a lesson to be learned. Traveling twice the speed of sound, it's easy to get burned.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know who that was or what the song was called, because basically what I've done is I took... There's a MetaBrains as an ID service, and since I have a bunch of CDs and records digitized, I just fed it through their program called Picard. It identifies what songs are by signatures and stuff like that. And so I just said, sure, whatever you think it is, I'll go ahead and say it is. But these times are changing. Yeah, let's see. The metadata says, this is from Bob Dylan, written by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and is a folk song. And it's listed as being in Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits. So, maybe that was Bob Dylan, but didn't sound like it to me. So, anyway, maybe in Calm you can tell me what's going on. And speaking of Calm, Calm is the chat program you use when you're talking on SDF. It's a great program. Just SSH over. If you don't have an account, use new@sdf.org and you'll go ahead and get signed up. And then once you have an account, all right, now you're ready to go. You can use Calm to chat live. The chat room that Anon Radio's in is called Anon Radio. Just type G and then Anon Radio all together. Before you launch Calm or before you launch Beepboard, the two great programs used to talk to other people on the cluster, there's a command called backspace, BKSP. Go ahead and hit enter that, and then it'll say press your backspace key, and you go ahead and press whatever key you use for your backspace key, and that will make life a lot easier for you. It is a common problem, so I wanted to be sure and mention that at least once on here. And please stick around at 1930 UTC after the show is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's an adventurous time. It's a lot of fun. I don't have the tagline in front of me, so I'll just say watch the Dubious Goals Committee. It is very dubious and very fun, and it's every single day at 1930 UTC. This show's only Monday through Friday. Dubious Goals Committee doesn't take a day off. That's not how committee work works. All right, let's get into our Africa news, some more Africa news, and the rest of our
world news.
World up news. All right, so here are our PanaPress headlines. Sudan paves road for foreign lenders after clearing U.S. $413 million of AFDB, that's Africa AF Alpha Foxtrot Delta Bravo loan pileup. Sudan will access new funding from the African Development Bank after clearing its debt arrears of U.S. $413 million, the African Development Bank said on Wednesday. So, that's good news. Sudan is also participating in inauguration of President Gula, G-U-E-L-L-E-H, Gula, of Djibouti, D-J-I-B-O-U-T-I. Sudan has dispatched a senior member of the collective presidency to go attend that event. And three people have been killed in an armed attack in Burkina Faso's Sahel region. Three people were killed overnight on Thursday in an attack carried out by an unidentified armed individuals in the village of Wasikore in the Burnaby, Sahel, Pana learned from security sources. And Senegal records 16 new cases of coronavirus, no deaths. And Tunisia records 56 new deaths, related deaths and 720 confirmed infections after lab analysis of a sample of 2,716 people. So, not looking so good there. And in Mali is to form a new broad-based transitional government. Mali's interim government is set to form a new broad-based cabinet amid growing criticism of the army-dominated authorities in the Sahel state. Prime Minister Mokhtar Ouani resigned on Friday, but was immediately reappointed to carry out the reshuffle, transitional president Ba Ndaw said. And it's B-A-H, and then surname's N-D-A-W. Ba Ndaw. The prime minister has just started consultation, said an advisor to Ndaw, who declined to be named. He must form a broad-based government. Ouani was named prime minister after military officers in August removed the elected president, Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, who was under pressure for his handling of Mali's armed unrest. Under threat of international sanctions, the military handed power to a caretaker government, which pledged to reform the constitution and stage elections within 18 months. But figures with army links dominate this body, and there is a growing anger about their prominent role in the slowness of reforms. So you can read the whole story over at Al Jazeera, but it's a surprise there. Tunisian Turkish foreign ministers discuss situation in Palestine. The Tunisian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Migrations, and Tunisians Living Abroad, Othman Jirandi, held talks with his Turkish counterpart, Mevlut Cavusoglu, on phone on several issues of common interest. And the Malian Army, we talked about them having control of the government. Well, the Malian Armed Forces on Thursday repelled a terrorist attack on a camp housing its special forces in Tamien, central Mali, the Malian Army's information services announced. All right, we gotta hurry it up. I slow down sometimes. It's Friday! I'm so excited! We're gonna have a good time! Yee-haw. All right, let's do it. Here we go.
It is time for tech news.
It is time for tech news.
So, first up, Ireland shuts down health IT system after significant ransomware attack. And then the lead photo are three men in suits, and they have bright yellow vests on, like safety suits on, and the two in the front are taking photos of, this is so weird. These two men are holding their phones and are taking photos of some industrial equipment. They're labeled crypto cubes, so they're probably bit mining hardware. And then you've got one man in the back who's eyeing them very suspiciously, or like very seriously. And then the caption says, Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly, Paul Reed, and Professor Brian McCraith receive first doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So it's totally not related. The photo and the caption don't seem to be related to the story. Always fun. This is on France 24. It might be fixed by the time we're on the air. Ireland's health authority said Friday it had shut down its computer systems after experiencing a significant ransomware attack, a week after the largest U.S. fuel pipeline network was also targeted. The Irish attack was blamed on international criminals and was said to be targeting healthcare records. Officials said patient safety was not at risk. However, the Health Services Executive, or HSC, said it is currently unable to make referrals for coronavirus testing. Government Minister Osirian Smith told RTE, that's Romeo Tango Echo, it is possibly the most significant cybercrime attack on the Irish state, calling it an intentional attack but not espionage. These are cybercriminal gangs looking for money. The HSE said it shut down all its IT systems as a precaution, but said the country's coronavirus vaccination program was unaffected, as were emergency services calls. But the referral system used to book COVID-19 tests was down. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly said the attack was having a severe impact, but individual services and hospital groups are impacted in different ways. Liz Kanan, a top official in Prime Minister Michael Martin's office, said the outage was also affecting child protection services, which are housed on HSE servers. She urged people needed urgent treatment to attend hospitals as normal, but HSE Chief Operations Officer Anne O'Connor warned of disruption if the outage continued. If this continues to Monday, we'll be in a very serious situation and we'll be canceling many services. Another ransomware attack last Friday forced the shutdown of the United States' largest fuel distribution system, leading to some panic buying at gasoline stations along the East Coast. Moscow's rejected U.S. accusations that a Russian-based group is behind the attack. So, that's going on there. Be sure you have extra backups of your stuff, because, you know what? If somebody encrypts your data, you're going to have a tough time. What else? Oh, video platform chief says, because we're still doing tech news.
This is time for tech news.
We're running out of time. Oh, no. All right, gotta hurry. Video platform chief says Nazi posts on white superiority do not merit removal. A top executive at video sharing platform Odyssey that's O-D-Y-S-E-E, wrote guidance to moderators in late April that a Nazi that makes videos about the superiority of the white race, would not be grounds by itself for removal from the platform, according to a leaked email obtained by The Guardian. The platform, whose owner LBRY, that's Lima Bravo Romeo Yankee, Inc., is currently being sued by the Securities and Exchange Commission for trading in unregistered securities, has been increasingly popular with extremists who've been banned from other platforms and who are attracted by Odyssey's cryptocurrency-based monetization program. The email, sent in error to a user who'd been complaining about neo-Nazi content on the platform, suggests that the platform is not doing as much as it can to restrict extremists. Initially, the user had emailed Odyssey's general contract address to warn them that Nazi propagandist Eric Stryker had announced plans to use the platform to stream his podcast, referring to the alias used by New York-based neo-Nazi Joseph Jordan. The user then linked to Jordan's channel on the site, as well as 10 other additional neo-Nazi white nationals or far-right extremist channels. So, very troubling there. I checked out the platform before, and it's just... it's basically what similar to what happened when a bunch of people got kicked off of Facebook and Twitter, and they all went to like Parler or other sites. It's just a concentration of all this, the worst kind of people you could have online. There's still regular content creators there too, but it's mostly, you know, there's just a higher concentration of bad stuff. Victim of Elon Musk Bitcoin scam loses home deposit. So be on the lookout. If something seems too good to be true, especially anything that ever says, give me X dollars and I'll give you X dollars back, or Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or whoever is going to give you money. A victim of online scammers was conned into giving away her savings, has warned others not to make the same mistake. Julie Bushnell said she felt ashamed and embarrassed after falling for a Bitcoin fraud that cost her £9,000. It used the name of entrepreneur Elon Musk in a story on a fake BBC website suggesting she could double her money in a giveaway of the cryptocurrency. The Brighton teacher said, "I think about it every minute of every day." Ms. Bushnell, an investor in cryptocurrency, spotted an item on a website that appeared to use BBC News branding, claiming Mr. Musk, the billionaire boss of the Tesla car firm, would pay back double the sum of any deposit. Clearly that's a scam, but she was brought into it. So there's a lot of U.S. news, and I just don't have the time. Here are just the quick headlines. Delays in giving a second jab of Pfizer vaccine are reportedly improve immunity response. A jackpot winner in California says they accidentally washed the lottery ticket. There's even video of them buying the ticket, and the store they bought it from got the $130,000 reward for selling a ticket, but because there's not enough evidence, they're not getting their ticket. Marjorie Taylor Greene has accused of verbally assaulting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the Capitol Hill. She's the QAnon, wildly disturbed woman who's in Congress. And a shelter in Chicago released 1,000 feral cats on the street to combat rats.
That sound means that
there's a bunch more.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. At 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Listen to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tom coming up next.